when the cheers turn to screams. This week on the podcast, R.L. Stine's Cheerleaders, The First Evil.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Cato.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And Kelly and I just shared some intense eye contact while we announced our names.
I was channeling the girls on the cover.
Oh, they're all right.
But you can't see
their
eyeballs.
We may as well get right to it. So this week we're reading R.L. Stine's Cheerleaders, First Evil. And I ordered used copies online, all three Cheerleaders books, since that's what we are covering for the next 3 weeks. The other two were normal. Second and third evil, totally normal. First evil, somebody clearly took an original copy and then reproduced it as like a big old glossy weirdness. Like the resolution of everything isn't that high.
It's like so fuzzy. And from the size of it, you would think it is a large print book.
Yeah.
And yet.
No, you open it up and it's just like it. There's so much white space surrounding the text because it is just what the book looked like.
It looks like
in the center of a giant page.
When you're in English class and the teacher wants to pass around a short story that they've made photocopies of,
mm-hmm.
It's that on the inside.
Yep. It's very funny. And then on the cover, because the resolution is low, and I think this already wasn't like... So the cover, the second evil, I love.
Love that cover.
Love that cover. But this one, like, the girls' faces in the back look very photoshopped. And the one in the front looks like scary, but kind of not scary.
It looks like, it does look like someone kind of learning how to Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot of like their faces like transposed on top of another image, but then not blended, kind of off center. The middle girl for sure is off center.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird. Anyway, these books are about a pair of sisters who join a cheerleading squad, and then people start to get hurt and die.
Yeah.
That's what these books are about.
I've never read these.
Oh.
I hadn't read them before.
Cool. I'll read the back of the book.
You do it. It's in your hand.
I'm going to do it. I'm holding it. God damn it.
It's in a
quit
huge,
holding
huge
me back,
font.
Kelly. All right. Give me a D-I-E.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Newcomers Corky and Bobby Corcoran. Cochran? Corcoran.
I read it as
Who
Corcoran.
Knows? Corcoran. Want more than anything to make the cheerleading squad at Shadyside High, but as soon as the Corcoran sisters are named to the team, terrible things happen to the cheerleaders. The horror starts with a mysterious accident near the Fear Street Cemetery. Soon after, piercing screams echo through the empty school halls, and then the ghastly murders begin. Can Corky and Bobby stop the killer before the entire cheerleading squad is destroyed? Well, the answer is no.
No.
No, they can't.
They can't. I love their names, Corky and Bobby. Love that.
Yeah.
It's like
very,
oh.
Very 80s, early 90s.
I loved this book.
And by the way, it's Corky.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bobby is Bobbi.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Don't change.
Has to be. Never change.
Never change.
Stay sweet.
SWAK. I loved this book.
I thought it was great.
This book is like
good Stine now,
oh,
I guess.
Yeah.
What a relief.
What a relief it is. Because this is like peak YA pulp horror. Mm-hmm. I loved this book.
People have been requesting the Cheerleader series, and we have been more than happy to comply because I remember this series and I remember liking it, but it is actually better than I remembered.
It's so good.
It's very good. I was afraid there was going to be a fucking cop out at the end and it was like human murdering.
No, it ain't.
Uh-uh, ghost murder.
It's that bitch, Sarah Fear.
Do you remember what Sarah Fear was
no,
in the Fear Street saga?
I was so mad that I couldn't remember.
I cannot fucking remember. I should have looked it
Fear.
Up. I'm going to Google it.
Go ahead. In the meantime, I guess if we want to like summarize what goes on with this story real fast.
Yeah, go for it.
All right, here goes. So Corky and Bobby are new. They live on Fear Street. Oh my God, this house is like kind of creepy.
And oh my God, they are such good cheerleaders.
They're so good.
They were on ESPN in a cheerleading thing.
And they took their school to state.
So I looked up Sarah Fear.
You did?
It was not in the Fear Street saga, but it is in one of the Fear Street saga, like, series of novels.
Mm.
You know how they did those historical ones?
Yes. Yep. Okay.
Like the ones from the past.
From the past. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why the name didn't, because I was like.
Yeah, that's why we don't know it.
Yeah.
That's why we don't know it.
That's why we didn't know it. We're Pardon not me. Ignorant. Well, we are ignorant. We're just not stupid.
Yes.
So, Captain Jessica.
Nope.
What's her name?
Jennifer.
Damn! Bobby and her sister Corky are like the best cheerleaders.
So good.
They took their school to state.
So they want to try out. But guess what? Cheerleader tryouts happened last year already. And so they are not pleased that the Corcoran sisters want to audition.
Yeah.
Now.
Kimmy. Oh, Kimmy, Kimmy will Deborah not stand
and
for
Ronnie.
It. They will no not way. Stand for it. But Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Is Captain. Like, sure.
She's like, they're too good not to.
They're too good. She's like, think of what we could be.
The problem is they put them both on and they kick Ronnie to the curb.
I know. So Ronnie's like all
Ronnie is
sad,
justifiably.
Which I was pissed. Like, when they're like, we don't have the budget for another uniform. I was like,
come on.
Really?
Come on.
You can't scrape together enough for another uniform?
No, wait, that wasn't the problem. They both have to get new uniforms.
Well, then what was it?
The problem is just that they can't
it's
have
too
that many
girls.
People on the squad.
That's right. Okay. So they're like, we can't do that. It will be mayhem. So they're like, we got to kick Ronnie the curb. She's an alternate.
She's the only freshman. Blah, blah, blah. Jennifer ends up dead, inhabited by the ghost of Sarah Fear, and starts trying to kill Bobby.
Yeah.
And that's basically it. Why she wants to kill Bobby in particular?
Unknown.
Unknown.
Unknown. Like, why Bobby? Who knows?
Yep.
Just because Bobby became close to her, I guess. So she's like, you're the closest?
I don't know.
I don't really get that.
It was, so when they're on the bus, so the way that Jennifer dies is they're on a bus.
Oh my God.
To a
I laughed out
town.
Loud.
It was insane.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. They're on a bus to a different town to go to a game. And
it's so
the driver
hot in that bus.
Is driving erratically. It's raining, blah, blah, blah. The Corcoran sisters are like, fuck, we left the burning batons at home.
I know.
Because
the fire baton, the fire sticks.
That's what it was. The fire batons.
Fire
not
batons.
The burning batons. That's not what that word is. And so the driver starts turning to Fear Street, and then he drives like too fast. And I think they never get to this, but I think the implication is that like he is for some reason possessed
yeah.
to be or like driven to drive badly.
Yeah, like I feel like it was
but, like,
hinted at that, but it also
the cemetery.
Yeah, because he's not really responding to them.
He's
although
kind
that's
of
kind of his personality.
What he's doing. Yeah,
because he's just not a really responsive guy.
Yeah, because he is like the maintenance man and the bus driver
yeah.
for the cheerleaders,
and he's like bad at both. Like there's like he's not very good at his job.
Mm.
But he like so it's so humid in this bus. But it's raining outside, so they have to close all the windows. And it gets really steamy, so he's like, I gotta cool off. So he opens the door of the bus while he's driving during a thunder and lightning storm. Car skids out of control on Fear Street.
It turns, and then Jennifer gets flung out of the open door at the cemetery and hits Sarah Fear's gravestone.
She flies out the door. The thing that I loved was that Bobby comes to while the bus is on its side and still skidding.
Yeah.
And she's like
on top of Corky.
Yeah. And it's still like the gravel and the dirt are like going underneath the windows and the windows are shattering. And that just seemed like really scary. And then it like skids to a stop on a tree. They all get out and they're like, it seems like everyone was fine, but wait, Jennifer. Jennifer's draped over the tombstone of Sarah Fear.
Yep.
They call 911. Ambulance comes. Try to wake her, but they're like, she's gone. But then wait. Bobby notices her eyes are moving. She opens her eyes and she starts to look around. She's like, oh, I guess she's alive. And everyone's like, yay, she's alive.
But nobody's like, but we just checked.
She was literally dead.
I'm going to read the... Wait, where's the part where Jennifer goes sailing out of the bus? Poor Jennifer. Here it is. So early on, why did he open the door? Quirky asked her sister. I guess to see better, Bobby replied thoughtfully. The windshield is totally steamed. He speeds up. There was no time to scream or cry out a warning. One second they were moving along through the rain. The next second they were sliding out of control toward the curb. Whoa, Simmons shrieked over the squeal of tires. The brakes! The tire squeals grew to a roar in Bobby's ears. She covered them with both hands. She tried to scream, but the sound caught in her throat. The impact was fast and hard. What did they hit? A tree? A rock? The curb? The bus seemed to bounce, to fly up off the road, to bounce again. Staring in horror and surprise at the front, Bobby saw Jennifer's eyes open wide. And then as the bus jolted and spun, she watched as Jennifer flew out the open door. Jennifer's startled scream was drowned out by the squeal of the skidding tires, by the crunch of metal, by the shatter of glass.
Wow, 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 wow,
wow. This is so much better than
the new girl.
Oh my God.
This book is so good.
I really liked it.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, what next? What next? I was so excited.
Nothing was a repeat of a thing that had already happened. Things were progressing forward. Yes, exactly. There weren't bullshit chapter ends. There was one at the beginning. Yeah. It was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. It was the first and only. But I loved too that things counted. And I loved that like I think we all kind of knew that Kimmy was going to be the red herring because Kimmy openly hates Bobby.
Yeah.
Like she hates her.
Because Bobby gets made cheerleading. I was going to say cheerleading leader.
I was going to say cheerleading champion.
Cheerleading captain. Over Kimmy, even though Kimmy was assistant captain. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kimmy straight up loses her mind.
Yeah. And I loved I'm so glad that R.L. Stine didn't make what these girls were dealing with the cheerleading stuff and being made captain and all that. None of it was frivolous.
Yeah, he didn't make it out to seem trivial. He actually delved into their true caring about cheerleading, where it was just like an athletic sport.
And like, dude, first of all, terrible form for Miss, what's her name?
Green.
Miss Green to announce before telling anybody?
Yeah, at a school pep rally assembly to honor the cheerleaders for surviving a bus crash.
Like, that's unprofessional.
Because you had to have known that Kimmy was expecting to be made captain.
Of course.
And so Kimmy finds out, screams no.
I laughed so hard.
Yeah, she's like, no!
Yeah. Because she's like, because she's amped. She's like, I got this in the bag. I can't fucking wait to be captain of the cheerleading team.
It's so sweet, though.
Yeah.
She truly
is. This is her moment.
Yeah. And it's all very for love of the game. Like, it's not about boys.
Mm-mm.
It is never once about boys.
There's one part with a chip.
But them, they're caring about cheerleading. It's not about boys at all.
Oh, yeah. And even the chip thing is just it's just way another thing that Kimmy doesn't like about her.
Yeah.
It's never the center. Like, Chip is an afterthought.
Yeah.
And I loved that basically Chip functions to show us that Bobby's not crazy.
Yeah.
Loved
and that it's not just Bobby.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the chapter with him sitting in the car with Bobby after the game where he is paralyzed.
Truly freaked out.
He was like, I just feel so weird. I don't know what's wrong with me. I felt like I was dead. Like, I wasn't there. I was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with me? And then he kisses her and he's like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. I feel really weird.
Yeah.
And
so, Chip and Kimmy break up. It seems like just totally
separate. Off page, weeks
previous. We didn't even know that they were together.
No.
Chip asks Bobby out. Bobby says yes, not realizing that it's Kimmy's ex-boyfriend. So now it's just another thing that Kimmy's going to hate her for. Chip is, I was going to say a footballer. Chip is on the football team and is trying to make these throws, but can't move and keeps getting tackled. So that's, and later Bobby can't move and can't catch Kimmy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, that's the function of Chip. Is really just to make Kimmy even more of a red herring and to have that happen to somebody else first.
Yeah. And in service of the red herring
thing. And then you never see him again.
No, I mean, he's
he goes
not
to
important.
The doctor and that's it.
And he's
he doesn't save her. It's not like this romance that happens throughout the book in addition to anything. It is truly just about girls.
Yeah.
This book is all about
girls. I loved
girls.
This.
I didn't even realize that until we were talking about it. That's great.
And I think that's like subconsciously why I liked it so much, because romance was not at all a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I love that he, and I mean, I get why he would not want to talk to Bobby anymore after going to the doctor. Like, he probably was like, this is a weird thing that I don't understand, don't want to understand, and don't want to talk to this girl about, because like, I felt weird.
It seems like he's, you mean after the game or?
Like after, so when he kind of is slighting her, when she's like,
she's calling to see
how
he is.
Yeah. And he's like, I can just, I got the feeling that he was like, I don't want to deal with that weird thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do, like, stop trying to dredge this thing up, which I understood.
He's busy thinking that something is medically wrong with him.
Yeah. Because he also got concussed. So
he was straight up concussed.
He was straight up concussed. But like, yeah, it really is. It's just about like these girls being jealous with each other about like being the best, which is like, and like,
not about being popular.
No. And about like putting your work in and deserving something, and then seeing this new person that's just like better than you at it, and being like, God, that sucks.
But then the girls who are better, nobody's a straight up bitch without cause.
No.
They're mean to each other, but it's based in something. Nobody is just a bitch.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
And honestly, Corky and Bobby are the like most undeniably optimistic girls, because they're like, a lot of the girls don't like us, but we'll win them over.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
And they do.
And they
start to. And it's not just like, well, they're all American and just good at whatever they do.
Because that would be Sweet Valley High.
It gets talked about over and over again how much work they put into their cheers, how they're like inventing moves and then practicing them like crazy. That's why the fire batons are at their house because they were working with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
And it was really sad when Corky was like trying to deal with Bobby's death.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
she just keeps going.
Because they're
back to
best
the
friends. It's sad.
And it's interesting because the whole book is basically switching back and forth between, well, the first chapter is Corky.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, and that's the bullshit cliffhanger, is that Bobby's pretending to be dead and Corky finds her.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not even that much of a bullshit cliffhanger, because it is how it ends. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whole rest of the book is either Bobby's perspective or Kimmy's perspective. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. I think there's a brief time in Jennifer's head. It'll like kind
it was
of
Jennifer,
make tiny detours.
But it was also interesting that like Jennifer, even Jennifer before, like, because we don't ever really get into her head after she gets possessed.
No, not at all.
But before she gets possessed, she like is jealous that these girls are better than her, but isn't angry about it. She's just
putting
like
the squad in front of her own.
And she's
ego.
Like, how did you learn this stuff? And they're like, oh, we can teach you. And like, the girls are humble. Bobby and Corky are like every time Miss Green is like, that was amazing. That was amazing. And they're like, well, we practiced a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Everybody is just about like what seems fair and what seems best.
Mm-hmm. And
I never thought about any of this while I was reading it. I was just like. Oh, I like this.
Me too.
I like this book.
Well, and I think that's because we both liked it so much that we were just like, ooh, what's going to happen? Like, let's spend time with these people. Rather than like, because when I'm not liking something, I'm immediately like, all right, let me critique it.
Skip through it.
Yeah. So this, I was like fully along for the ride.
And it's not like any of the characters are so fully fleshed out, but they are not stereotypes.
They're not. And everything they do is justified. And you can think that that justification is right or wrong as a reader, but it is justified.
Yeah, it's sometimes selfish.
Sure, but it makes
but it
sense.
It comes from a place that makes sense.
Yes. Because it's like, yeah, Kimmy is, when she's icing out Bobby and is like, so, and when we're in their heads, so Bobby, after Jennifer's accident, they name Bobby as the new queen as the new captain. And what the struggles that Bobby is having while trying to have authority over the rest of the team is so like, I got that when Kimmy is like sowing seeds of discontent and like some of the girls are starting to kind of like buy it, and when Bobby's just like unable to control them and they won't do the exercises, and she's just like she, when she like says that she just wants to leave the room, I'm like, I get it. Mm-hmm. But then when Kimmy, on like on the other side of it, when Kimmy is hearing this is ridiculous for the first time in front of the entire school that Bobby is the new cheer captain, when she thinks it's going to be her.
Yeah, and Bobby didn't know either.
And she's like, I feel so horrible. Everyone's looking at me because they knew I wanted it. And I just want to run away. I don't want to do this. Like, I don't, like, that, like, wanting to run away feeling is so, so, like, acutely resonating with me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you just want to, you don't want anybody looking at you.
Yeah, it's really unfair to do that. It's not fair. So I was just looking it up because I was curious. The Fear Street Saga trilogy came after Cheerleaders.
Okay.
Which maybe, so I'm trying to think why Fear Street Saga sucks.
I think it's maybe
it was just some kind of rushed.
And it was trying to do too much.
Job.
Yeah. And
I think that's why then there are Fear Street sagas
mm-hmm.
books to like delve into the history of Fear Street more. Because, yeah, that saga series, woof.
I mean, it was trying to go through like 400 years.
Yeah.
Like, too
and
much.
Like we said, all it really had to do was go through the like origin.
Yeah.
We didn't go back 100
yeah.
years. Nobody needs.
We didn't need the original
years three books.
Fierce. But yeah, I loved, and then like the fact that Bobby dies was like intense.
Yeah, you kind of don't think she's gonna.
Mm-mm. You're like, oh, she'll get out.
You know the second and third books.
Yeah.
If you read the back of that, it gives it away right away.
Immediately. Especially if you're reading the Kindle and then you go to the right and you're like, oh. Okay. But like, let's just imagine a world where you haven't seen that. You're like, damn, she dies. And like, and in a really scary fucking way.
What the fuck, man? She like burns to death in a shower.
She boils.
She boils. The steam chokes her.
And then she has a seizure and dies immediately.
And the doctors tell Corky that it was the seizure that killed her. And so Corky is like, well, at least she died instantly without any pain. Like, we know that's not true.
Because we were in her head.
Horribly.
She was like, it was so overwhelming.
I don't think she did have a seizure. I think that was just the conclusion that they came to.
Well, because they were trying to figure out why she wouldn't have just left.
Yeah.
Because they were like, obviously they're not like, well, a supernatural force like locked the doors and turned all the showers on super hot.
Yeah.
And even the other cliffhanger that was like kind of fakey ended up counting, which is when Kimmy gets burned
by the water.
And it's like, damn, that's really hot. And her chest is like bright red.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, because it's like she turned on the water and screamed a blood-curdling scream.
Yeah.
Next chapter, the water was super hot. And so at the time,
which
I was like,
kind of lame, but also a genuine, like, she was screaming because something hurt and not because, like, somebody put a fake mouse in the shower.
Right. And, I mean, it was legit so hot that, like, her chest and neck were, like, beet red.
Yeah.
So I thought that was.
Yeah, there was some good stuff that came back that got mm-hmm. planted in the beginning, like that, like Kimmy's silver.
The latch.
Pendant or, pendant?
Yeah, megaphone? It was a pendant of a megaphone.
Okay. And the latch falls so that when Corky finds it later, and you expect, too, that it's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
But then for me, it took a surprising turn when Kimmy was like, no, I gave that as a gift to Jennifer.
I was surprised,
too.
Ago.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, because I thought it was just going to be like, because when I knew she was a red herring, but at that moment, I was like, well, maybe she did have something to do with it. And then, or like, I was just like, but there's like, I looked at the bottom of my Kindle and it said 83%. And I was like, okay, so we're going to find out that it was Jennifer like really soon.
Yeah. For me, I thought it was just going to be, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know how it ended up there.
But then she was corroborated by her friends too.
Yeah. They're like, no, she gave that to Jennifer. And I like how immediately like animosity towards Bobby is forgotten. And it's just like, oh, I'm so sorry, Corky.
Yeah. Well, and they're all just like, something's wrong with Corky, because she is like screaming and yelling. She's like talking really fast, is like very obviously agitated.
They're concerned enough to chase after her to the cemetery.
Yes. And they see everything. Yeah. I loved that.
I was glad.
But so, all this whole time too. So, and this is what I loved too about this book, is that, so we're at first in Bobby's point of view for most of the, for the book until she dies. And then we're obviously not in her point of view anymore. And it's Corky's point of view.
Yeah.
More. But so we're following this mystery, right? This whole time with Bobby. And then you get just a hint when she is leaving Jennifer's house and then sees in the shadow that Jennifer's walking around. And she's like, wait, I thought she like may never walk again because of her accident. She can walk. And then she's like questioning her own sanity because things have been fucking with her, like the locker doors opening and closing. And
becoming,
so she's
frozen in place.
And she's just like, yes. And the frozen in place thing. And she herself had become frozen in place when expected to catch Kimmy during a move that she invented with Corky.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimmy ends up falling and breaking her wrist. So she's like, maybe I am losing it. Is this it? She's like, is this me cracking up? And then, so you're kind of like sort of on the trail towards, we know that Kimmy's really pissed at her, but we're kind of on the trail towards like, maybe it's Jennifer. Like Jennifer's like, what's the deal? She's walking around. Bobby dies. And then we're back with Corky, who has not known anything about the Jennifer stuff. And so she immediately, of course, is
except that Bobby told her about the Jennifer thing.
And she didn't believe her.
The night before she died. And Corky gets mad because Bobby gets mad at her. She calls Corky a traitor for not believing her about Jennifer walking. And I liked how that chapter ended.
Yeah.
Too. Let me see if I can find it.
Let's see if you can find it.
Bobby stormed over to the closet. Shut up. Just shut up. Don't ever talk to me ever again. She began to tear off her clothes, tossing them on the closet floor, muttering to herself. Corky punched her pillow, fluffed it, and slid back under the covers, turning her back on her sister. She's gone totally crazy, she told herself. She's just so weird. Imagine calling me a traitor because I think she should talk to someone and get help. Me, a traitor. And now she's gotten me so upset I'll probably be up all night. I hate her. I really hate her, Corky thought darkly, struggling to get comfortable. She just makes me so mad. Corky might have been more sympathetic. She might have been more understanding. More caring, more believing, but Corky had no way of knowing that this was the last night she would ever spend with her sister.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then part three, the evil.
Yeah, but then it comes up with like, woo-hoo. Bobby's doing this, da, da, da. And so you're like, oh, well, she's not dead yet.
Yeah, back with Bobby.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to read, because this part, I was like, damn, I'm on the edge of my seat right now. So Bobby and Kimmy have just had an altercation at the beginning of practice, and this is when Kimmy has discovered that Bobby was like kind of connected to Chip, like was maybe seeing him or something.
Yeah.
And so she's like, you made a real mistake. And Bobby is supposed to be leading.
That part is weird to me.
That was weird.
You've just made a mistake. She sounded like she was like way cracking up.
No, I thought she was cracked up.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to like, I mean, she does. She.
No, you've just made a little mistake. You've made a little mistake, Bobby.
It's broken, broken. So she, so Bobby and Kimmy are like having this argument. Then Kimmy like tackles her to the ground, yanks her hair. They're fighting, fighting, fighting. They get broken up by Miss Green. And then Miss Green's like, all right, you guys have to do this exercise or the trick where Bobby has to catch Kimmy from like jumping off really high and doing like a pike thing and then landing. Okay. And then they like, and then the two girls, Kimmy and Bobby, are like, okay, fine. And Miss Green makes them apologize to each other, and they just kind of are like, sorry, and start to do the routine. Let's get serious, girls, Miss Green scolded. This stunt could be really dangerous. Corky and I have done it a million times, Bobby reassured her, looking up at Kimmy. Ready? I guess, Kimmy replied with a shrug. Wish I had a safety net. You can do it, Jennifer yelled in encouragement from against the wall. Okay, on three, Corky said. One, two. Bobby braced herself, spreading her feet far apart in preparation for the catch. She arched her back and started to raise both arms above her head. Three! Bobby sucked in a mouthful of air. My arms, she thought. What's wrong? What's happening to me? I can't raise my arms, Bobby thought, frozen in horror. I can't move. I can't move anything. She could feel beads of cold sweat run down her forehead. Stop, Bobby thought. You've got to stop this. Hold everything. Please just stop. But to her horror, she couldn't speak out. She couldn't make a sound. I can't move. I can't speak, she thought. She strained to raise her arms to get into position. No, please, no, Bobby cried. Only no sound came out. What is happening to me? She could see herself standing there as if she had floated out of her own body. She could see herself looking up as Kimmy prepared to dive, looking up with her arms still at her sides. Unable to move, to raise them. Unable to catch Kimmy. Unable to warn her. No, please, Kimmy, don't dive. Don't dive. Can't you see I'm paralyzed here? Can't you see something is holding me here? Holding me in its grip? Holding me so I can't move a single muscle, cannot even blink? Can't you see? Corky's shoulders bobbed under Kimmy's weight as Kimmy bent her knees and began her jump. No, no, Kimmy, don't! Kimmy's eyes narrowed, her features tight in intent concentration. Her knees bent, the muscles tightened. No, stop! Kimmy, stop! I can't catch you! I can't even move to break your fall! Kimmy, please! Kimmy took a deep breath, held it, and then she leapt off Corky's shoulders. That's the end of that chapter. She falls down and cracks her wrist.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being like, whoa, no, no. Because I love that. I love when you're like that kind of trope in a horror. Yeah, where you're just like, the person, they can't move. And that she like knows what's going to happen, but she can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Loved that.
And then it's going to seem like she did it on purpose because it's Kimmy.
Yeah. And rightfully, like, I mean, of course, everyone's like all the girls at this point turn against her. Because, except for her sister, but everyone else is like, Bobby, we all saw you do that on purpose. Like, what is wrong with you?
I would think that.
Me too. I would be like, you are evil.
Yeah, you don't catch somebody?
Damn, you're like straight up evil.
She's lucky she didn't get kicked off the squad like right then and there and actually like or like
suspended
with,
and yeah. like charged with criminal stuff. Yeah. Like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it turns out that Sarah Fear has some kind of like control, like telekinesis controlled
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say like, I don't even really care that the rules aren't explicitly stated about why Sarah Fear has the ability to paralyze people and like make locker doors fly open and screams happen.
Yeah, because I think enough groundwork
to crash.
Yeah, enough groundwork for me was laid when, first of all, Sarah Fear. So we know she's like the original, one of the original Fears, died a long ass time ago. And we know that the rest of her family also died all at the same time. So something like bad is up with her.
Yeah.
So I was just like, eh, I get it. I was like, I buy it. Yeah. I don't care.
Ghosts. Evil ghosts. That's cool.
Yeah.
They have powers.
Sure. You don't need to tell me exactly. I mean, they have powers.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the answer. Magic. Cool. Done.
Cool with him. Unlike with the accident where I was like, wait, where are you getting this? Where it was like, we can switch for 7 days if we have the same birthday. And if we're both turning 16 and if your mind is open to it.
You know
like
why?
All of these bullshitty rules.
Well, do you know why I had a problem with those rules not making sense? Because they were like specifically stated as being like this is the only way that this could happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, but why?
It could have just as easily been, hey, do this for me.
Yeah.
And
great.
I'm not going to switch back.
She could have just been like this is just I've been waiting for a 16 year old girl to live in this house for a while. So I'm so happy. Let's trade bodies because I was 16.
Yeah.
Done.
Yep.
But to but have this, so like, many weird rules is.
Yeah. It was dumb. But in this, it's like, oh, evil ghost? Okay,
cool.
Evil ghost can do evil things.
Great.
What's interesting is when she's like, what are you, a ghost, an evil spirit? And it's like, that's quaint of you to use those terms. Mm-hmm. Sure.
An evil spirit.
That's so cute. So
and
patronizing.
Yes. And I also laughed so hard at like imagining Jennifer doing that dance in...
What the fuck was up with that dance?
With the, like, pennant?
It was really weird. I'm going to find that part. That was weird where I was like, huh?
That was the one part in this book where I was what? I was like, what?
This doesn't make sense.
Like, I was just trying to imagine it. And the thing is, it could not be comical to me. Like, it seemed so weird. So basically, this is happening because Corky has followed. She saw
that. She's already confronted Kimmy.
Yeah.
So she remembers the fact. So Kimmy tells her about the pendant, and then she remembers that Bobby said Jennifer could walk.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, damn, I got to go find Jennifer.
Oh, shit.
So she follows Jennifer to the cemetery.
So it says, as Corky leaned against the cold, damp tree trunk, peering intently into the dimly lit scene, Jennifer reemerged, dancing. Dancing a strange, silent dance. Her arms bent over her her arms over her head. Her legs, those legs everyone believed to be paralyzed, twirled and kicked. A silent, cheerless tango. She was wearing her cheerleader costume. The short skirt flew up as she spun. Her dark hair flew behind her as if alive. And what was that she was waving in her hand? Corky squinted into the misty green light. It was the pennant, the shady side pennant they had made for her after the accident. The crippling accident. And now here was Jennifer, twirling wildly in the green moonlight, kicking and twirling, waving the pennant high, dancing in a narrow circle, bending her back, raising her face to the moon, her long hair flowing down nearly to the ground, round and round, around a tombstone, Corky realized. Jennifer was circling a tall tombstone surrounded by four other stones, Sarah Fear's tombstone. Waving the pennant, she kicked her legs high as if leading a silent parade. And then it just goes on and on. She keeps dancing, and it's like, What? Why? And
it was
what is
such a weird
doing?
Turn.
And is
this
she
bitch
invoking
is,
something?
She's not, though. She's just dancing.
Yeah, she's just dancing like a crazy person.
She's doing like fucking rhythmic gymnastics in this cemetery with her pennant. And like a pennant is just a little small flag.
Is
so
she
she's just
like
whipping the
celebrating.
She's like, I fucking did it.
I fucking killed her. I'm gonna win. And now kill others. And she's like, she's saying she's gonna kill all of Jennifer's enemies. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What enemies? What Jennifer didn't have enemies.
We know in like the first sentence introducing Jennifer that nobody doesn't like Jennifer. Yeah. Everybody loves Jennifer because she's a graceful, kind person. So I don't really get, Sarah Fear must be like cuckoo because I don't remember reading anything about her, but like she must be. Because she's like, I'm going to kill all of Jennifer. Well, first she's like, I am not Jennifer.
Yeah,
in that like deep voice.
She's very upset.
Yeah, she's like.
Corky keeps calling her Jennifer.
Which I'm like, girl, give Corky some slack.
Yeah.
Corky sees Jennifer. She doesn't.
You've been Jennifer this whole time.
Yeah. Everybody thinks you're Jennifer. It's not just Corky that's like not letting you be you.
And so, in fairness, you've been saying you were Jennifer.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the evil that you have perpetrated has been because.
This one's on you.
Yeah. This is a you problem. So she's all pissy because Corky keeps calling her Jennifer. And then she like raises up all the dirt and causes this like dirt cyclone.
That was cool.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to look for that part too.
And I love that in order to see her better, Corky has to get closer to her to get out of the, like to get into the eye of the dirt storm, basically. I thought that was so cool.
As if in reply, Jennifer lifted one hand high above her head and waved it as if summoning someone. Oh, Corky cried out. I never read that correctly. Like, even reading that on the page, the like, oh.
Well, because I don't think people, do people
exactly.
do that?
Do people go, oh.
Like, I probably would be like, ugh.
Or, ah.
Or like, ugh.
Or,
or, ooh.
Or, ooh, no, thank you.
Get me out of here. Beep, beep.
I won't have what she's having.
No check, please, because I'm going to dine and dash.
So Corky cried out, raising her hands to her face as the grass flew off Sarah Fear's grave and the dirt began to rise. Jennifer waved her hand high above her head and the dirt rose up like a dark curtain, flying off the grave, flying high into the black sky. And then the dirt was swirling around them both, thicker
Get it right.
and thicker, I'm sorry, until Corky couldn't see beyond it, until Corky was forced to move closer to Jennifer. Faster and faster, the curtain of dirt swirled, until it became a raging, dark whirlwind, like a tornado funnel. Covering her eyes with her arm, Corky staggered forward, forward, until she was standing face to face with Jennifer. Jennifer held her hand high as if directing the swirling dirt, her eyes aglow with excitement. The excitement of her power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary.
It was scary.
And then she's just going to stick Corky in the coffin with her dead, rotting Seraphir body.
Which, let me just tell you right now, it is actually a feat of science that her body is still being ate up by worms.
Yeah.
Because, like, that bitch has been dead for, like, hundreds
of years. She ain't got no
flash. What are those worms chewing on? Gummies?
Gummies.
She's a gummy skeleton.
She went to the grave with her pockets full of gummies.
We'll bury her at her
beloved
peak self.
Gummies.
Pockets bursting with gummies.
I don't want to send Sarah into the dark, cold ground without the gummies she loved to eat in life.
Worm gummies.
1899. Everyone loves a good gummy.
You go to the alchemist store and buy a handful of peach gummies.
This is the Victorian era.
We're sexually repressed, but we love chewy
gummies.
Candies.
We love gummies.
We love gummies.
We love candies.
We like to indulge in the mouth that we can't with the vajois.
With the what?
Vajois.
The vajois. My vajois is pristine.
Oh, that vajois is... It's like a mirage.
Is it there? Is it not?
Oh,
shimmer, shimmer, shimmer.
Oh,
shimmer.
The heat. Oh,
it's an oasis, my vajois.
Here, take shelter from the heat in my vajois.
Yeah, the worms are eating her vajois.
The worms are just going crazy on this vajois. I was like, that's probably part of her like magic to make it more scary. Because come on.
Yeah, let's go with that.
How much meat is on them
bones?
Let's
go with that.
Let's give them a little credit, RL. It was a magic trick.
Kelly's having a fancy stroke.
I am. There is no more Kelly. What?
Oh, there's an eyelash in my eye. It's horrible.
Has it departed?
Killing me.
Woof.
Woof.
Yeah, maggots.
Oh, yeah.
In the corpse.
And they're just writhing.
There's just no way it's still there.
And even in that moment, Corky's like, damn, this is fucked up.
Damn, girl.
She's like, ew, you're gross.
Ew, girl. I don't want to go down there.
She's like, no. And Jennifer's like.
She's like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. And Jennifer tries to push her in and she's like, surprise gymnastics. And like does a flip and like pops out.
Her super cheerleading skills drive her and save her from the maggots eating those gums.
I mean, she turned a fall into a pile of maggots eating gummies into a beautiful dismount.
Yeah.
Just
nails it.
Climbing out of that grave. Climbing out of the grave. And then she's like, bitch, I'm taking you down. And starts like trying to drag Jennifer into the grave. Oh, but then Jennifer has like nuclear breath and is like breathing it all over her. And she
that
can't.
That was also really good.
Yeah,
part.
So cool.
Here it is. They wrestled nearer to the edge of the hole. Corky pulled with all her strength, tightening her arms around Jennifer's waist, trying to throw her down. Jennifer pulled back, crying out in protest. Closer to the hole, closer to the edge. I can do it, Corky thought. I can do it. But then Jennifer turned to face her, her eyes wild with fury. She opened her mouth wide, wider, and a wind blew out, a stench, a vapor, a wind that howled over Corky, covered her face, filled her nostrils. Jennifer tilted her head, closed her eyes, and the vapor roared out of her, reeking of death, of decay, of all that is foul. It blew into Corky's face, hot and wet and sour. Corky gagged and turned her face, but the wind still howled out of Jennifer's mouth, encircled Corky and choked her in its thick, hot stench. I'm going to suffocate, she thought. I can't breathe. I'm going to suffocate. The smell is too sickening. Corky realized she was weakening, about to lose the fight. One last tug. She held her breath and braced herself, summoned all of her remaining strength for one last tug. But Jennifer was too strong. The foul wind raged and howled from her open mouth. Jennifer didn't budge. I'm lost, Corky thought.
Oh, man. So cool.
Ooh.
But then she turns her nasty breath onto her own corpsey self.
Sour wind.
Oh, it's a sour wind today.
Yeah, I want to So at this point, Kimmy, Deborah, and Ronnie are seeing what's happening as well.
Yes.
They're watching this fucking craziness. This is Jennifer struggled as Corky tightened her grip, tightened her hands, began to choke Jennifer, choke the evil spirit inside Jennifer's body, pushing her head down. The raging stream of foul vapor from Jennifer's mouth blew into the hole now, into the open grave. Corky could see it blowing the worms around in the coffin. Yes, she cried aloud, hearing the wind lose its howl, feeling it weakened as it poured into the coffin. All the evil pouring down into the coffin. And as Corky continued to choke her, Jennifer felt lighter, lighter, light as air. And the wind stopped. Jennifer uttered a feeble groan, and the wind stopped.
Yes! I also liked that the worms were just blowing around in that grave.
Gross.
They're just like, super in a...
Gross. They're like, ah!
Like, wait!
What? Ah. I was eating!
Rude, in the middle of lunch.
In the middle of dinner! Oh, really? I was eating lunch. Oh, weird.
I'm jet lagged.
When did you wake up?
I woke up 3 hours ago, which is like 9 hours in worm time.
Okay, I woke up 8 hours ago, so this is dinner for me. Wait, where are you coming from?
Kentucky?
Oh, who did you crawl off of from Kentucky?
A chicken farmer.
You know what? I don't know why I asked. I don't know him.
There's no way you would, but I appreciate you checking in.
I did that thing where it's like you think you know, if you know one person from Kentucky, you think it's going to be that person.
Everyone thinks it's a small place, but it's actually pretty big.
Yeah, that was my bad.
You're a big city worm.
Yeah, I'm from here.
Oh,
yeah. I just came off of Andrew McFadden's corpse.
Oh.
You wouldn't. I don't know why I said that.
No, it's okay.
You're new.
I'm new.
Well, we kind of picked this one clean.
Yeah.
I'll see you at the next.
See you around.
Those poor worms.
Those poor worms.
Just living their life.
They're just trying to live that worm life.
Oh, I want to read the part where Jennifer turns back into actual Jennifer.
Yes.
As the girls gaped in silent horror, Jennifer's skin dried and crumpled, flaking off in chunks. Her long hair fell off, strands blowing away in the breeze. Her eyes sank back into her skull, then rotted into dark pits. Her cheerleader costume appeared to grow larger as her flesh decayed underneath it and her bones appeared. Ew.
Ew.
Gross.
That's crazy.
Oh, I like how when the police pick them up and they're like interviewing it, they basically have that moment where it's like, forget it, Jake. It's Fear Street.
Yep.
Like, because their story makes no sense.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, what happened? Well, this corpse, I know it looked like it'd been dead for weeks, but it was possessed.
Don't worry about it. This corpse has been dead for weeks.
You know what? Don't worry about it. It's fucking Fear Street. I don't even want to. There's so much paperwork. I'm just going to say you guys were at a cemetery.
Yeah. Just don't worry about it.
Hey, Jennifer's parents. I'm real sorry. I can't. We have no answers. But
no explanations.
Definitely dead.
But tough to be you, I guess.
Oof.
Oof.
Life's a bitch, am I right? And then Jennifer dies. So
anyway, I'll see you at the church mixer.
For Satan.
Satan.
Satan's church mixer.
Satan's church mixer. That's a great name.
Improv name, band name.
Mm-hmm.
Not
band.
Improv. Yeah. It's a bad improv name.
Band. Satan's church mixer.
It's going to take a really long time for my brain to stop trying to turn things into improv team names.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's all I have to say about that.
And that's all I've got to say about that. That's my report by Lindsay Kaytai.
Oh, I was thinking Forrest Gump.
Oh.
Same thing. I wasn't thinking it when I said it.
No.
But afterwards,
just
I was
now.
Like, oh, that reminds me of Forrest.
Mm.
No, I love quoting Forrest Gump. As Forrest Gump. I love quoting the Forrest Gump lines. So I can do my Forrest Gump impression. I love doing my Forrest Gump impression.
Have you heard my timely character, Forrest Gump?
Yeah. Have you heard my not at all problematic Forrest Gump?
It's fun. Everyone loves it.
Everyone loves it.
It's a party like pleaser.
That Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Those are the two. You know what? That's the Powers. Difecta.
Those are my impressions.
Austin Powers and Forrest Gump.
Yep. That's all.
Well, you know what? You're well-rounded.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who needs more than that?
You really only need...
What am I, rich little with a bunch of impressions? No.
You only need two. One for each pocket.
In your pants.
And you only need two pockets.
You always got to have an impression in your pocket.
You always got to have an impression in your pocket.
You don't know when you're going to need that impression. Question.
Mm.
Did you and I get real punchy like halfway through talking? Mm-hmm. Or is it just me?
No, we did.
I got really punchy.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Me too. Yo soy también.
Yo soy también?
Mm-hmm.
What's that from? Just you?
I think it's just, I don't know.
It's just gold that dribbled out of my mouth.
It's from the Spanish. You know, Spanish, have you heard about it? Spanish, I'm going to put it. I thought it meant me too.
You said, I am also.
That might be what that means, though.
Yo también is me too.
Nope. It is yo soy también.
No.
Yeah.
Yo también means me too. Yo soy también means what? I am also?
I think that's just how you would say it in Spanish. Because, like, it's not a direct, it's not a one-to-one.
No, I know Spanish.
Yeah, but that's what it is. It's yo soy,
yo
también.
Soy también.
I am right and you are wrong, so I know Spanish.
What? Yo soy.
Blah, blah, blah.
It's yo también.
It is.
It's yo también.
You can probably say both, Kelly.
Oh, what is that? Oh, I'm too. See, it's wrong. It's doing an actual, like.
Oh, the actual translation?
Yeah, like literal translation.
Then why does it say it everywhere else, too? I am too. I am
maybe
also.
Me
too.
I don't know. I mean, when I know.
I think it just gave you a.
Yo soy también.
I am also.
I am also. You know what? If you were going to respond with like, I am also, maybe. But I feel like yo también is more common. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a native Spanish speaker, so I'm sure someone will correct me.
Yeah, I'm sure mine applies to a different sentence. It's still Spanish, Kelly.
What would that, like, when would you?
It'd be like, I'm scared. Yo soy también.
I am too. Ah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So we're just using it in
different ways. Yeah. I am too. I'm cold. I am too.
Yeah.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh,
I forgot about the existence of I am too.
Little so-and-so. You son of a gun.
I'm a little
trying
worm.
To act like I don't know Spanish to the level that you do.
I'm a little
we know the
magical
same
worm.
Of Spanish.
Probably.
How dare you.
How dare you?
I am too.
I am too.
I love how you were like, no, I am also.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
I think I know more Spanish than you.
I would say that's probably my motto. Anywhere I walk in.
You gotta stop wearing that shirt everywhere.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
Kelly,
and I know more Spanish than you.
Probably real stupid to wear in California.
Honestly, I forget how, like, why I said yo soy también.
I don't know.
It might have been wrong in that instance, but.
We'll never know.
Me too. I am too.
I am too. I forgot about people using that phrase. I think there's something wrong with my brain. I think I've gone mad. Losing my mind.
Were we talking about being punchy when all of a sudden we got punchy on yo soy también?
Mm-hmm.
I remember some of my Spanish classes.
If you guys can't tell, we're swaying in unison.
Na, 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 na.
Is this rock bottom?
This is not good radio.
Not good radio.
Not good radio.
Well,
did you have opinions of cheerleaders in high school, like good or bad?
Well, so my school was not a school, like cheerleading was not the popular kid thing to do at my school. Dance was, and volleyball and soccer. Those were the cool people. Everybody else was like a loser. And so also because
cheerleaders
like,
were losers then?
Actually, yeah. They were. And it was pretty, well, it's because our school was terrible in football. So we just, nobody cared about football games. People didn't really go to them. We had a football team, but we were more into, our volleyball team was really, really good. And our soccer team was decent and our surf team was good. So like, those were the sports that were like the cool sports. Track was what it was like. Track was, I remember track was like the sport that anyone could do. Where, so it was like the weirdest losers to like the coolest cool kids did track. And that's why I did it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I can do the same like event as a guy that I have a crush on and have a reason to hang out with him.
I could put my hands under my armpits and walk like I'm a chicken.
Yay.
Which is what Kelly just did.
Mm-hmm.
At my school, it was like not cool or uncool. I remember when I got to high school being like, oh, that's not like a thing. It's not
I remember
a thing
thinking
that
too.
Cheerleaders are crazy popular.
It might be a Southern California thing.
I mean, certainly the popular girls were on the cheerleading squad, but it was not a like uber status.
Not for my school thing. Either. I think for schools where football is a huge thing, when they're like, there's schools that are like feeder schools.
Yeah.
That is different. Yeah, but maybe. Also like, and I also think you see that a lot more in middle America, but like definitely for my school wasn't. Did you have sports that were cool?
Football. People go to football games. I don't know because I didn't pay attention. I know we had football. I'm pretty sure we had baseball.
Oh, baseball was the cool guys did baseball. I remember that.
I'm sure we had track.
Yeah.
I know we had basketball, of course.
For us, it was
volleyball.
A mix of basketball.
Yeah. We had sports. I don't know that one was cooler than the other, though.
Mm. I just remember there being like, maybe it's because I was so like sadly boy crazy that I would like take note of like which sports had like the cutest guys on them. And I remember being like, the soccer guys are like really cute and the baseball guys are cute and the surfer boys are cute and the swim boys are cute and all the boys are cute. And why won't they ask me out?
I will be around on the cute.
I know.
Oh, yeah. We had swim, too, because I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that we must have had one dude on swim. I'm pretty sure it was just girls.
We
That's
had,
interesting.
Did you guys have, like, multiple, like, cheerleader type things? So we had cheer, which was, like, drill team, basically. And then...
Yeah, I think we had, like, color guard. Or...
Oh, I'm sorry. Pep squad, which was cheer. Yeah, and color guard. We had tall flags and small flags.
I don't remember anything.
And then
we
had...
I think we had color guard and cheer.
We had color guard for like a year, but it was only two people. And then one of the girls graduated, and so they just didn't keep doing it.
Aw, poor other girl.
I know. And tall flags moved those big flags around, and small flags had like little baton-type flags that they would like throw in the air and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then pep squad was like cheerleading in this book. And then... drill team was like dancing.
Ah, yep.
Because dance was huge in my school. People really liked to dance.
People like to dance where I'm from.
Heck, I like dancing. Oh. So I guess I'm from where I'm from.
It checks out.
It checks out, tracks.
Can tell you what wasn't cool.
What?
Drama.
Same at my school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what else wasn't cool?
What?
The debate team.
I wish I had done something like debate.
Yeah, I did it. I had a crush on a guy in debate, though.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. I was looking at YouTube last night, looking up ASMR videos. And this, like, reenactment sort of, or like, yeah, I guess reenactment of the end number to Sister Act 2, Joyful, mm-hmm. Joyful, by this just, like, group. And there's, like, a whole bunch of them. Dancing, doing the same choreography, mm-hmm. and everything in the same arrangement of the song. And then I just watched the end of Sister Act 2 as well. And I was thinking of that moment in the movie where Whoopi Goldberg is telling them, like, oh, we should, or no, it's Sister Mary, the young one,
mm-hmm.
whatever her name is.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, we should go to Allstate.
Mm-hmm.
And And they're like, no, I don't want people seeing me do that.
Yeah.
And then Dee Dee Magano of the party, of Mickey Mouse Club's The Party, is in that movie. And she's like, y'all, there are probably some really cute boys on the other teams. And then two of the girls go, we're in. I was just thinking about that moment because it's like girls being openly boy crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Seems more like a thing in movies and TV than in my experience.
Well, because you have to be like more like, confident.
Where are the cute boys up in here?
Yeah. I mean, I was like thinking it, but I would never say it because I was too embarrassed.
Yeah.
So I was like
trying to repress any.
Yeah.
Any like sign that I'd be like, where are the cute boys? Where are the cute boys? I want to look at boys.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even think of it that way myself. Even though I'd, like, go to a theme park and just, like, look around for cute boys.
Oh, I was constantly scanning for cute boys.
But I just didn't think of it that way.
No, I never, like, understood the thoughts that were happening in my head. Mm-hmm. They were happening. Like, in my head, I was like, I wonder if they're... Like, I remember thinking, like, I wonder if there are going to be any cute guys. It was usually, I'm going on a family vacation. We're somewhere. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if there's, like, going to be a cute guy, like, at this hotel we're staying at. But, and then I would, like... Like wander around by myself. I would try and wander around by myself without my parents because I wanted people to believe that I was like a 12-year-old that somehow didn't have a family. So I would just like wander just like around.
Really cool. I'm here by myself.
Yep. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just like walked here to this hotel and like would walk around and like just like be looking at. And if I saw a guy that I thought was cute, I would like walk by like 9 times, like super obviously. They would never talk to me, but I don't ever think that I was just like, oh, I'm going to go like. Scanning for guys.
Yeah.
Like that never.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, I see a cute boy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to keep my eye on him.
Yep. I'm just going to make sure.
Just keeping tabs. Not a big deal. I'm just seeing if he's in love with me yet. Just going to like quick, like glance over yet. No. Okay. No. Glance back.
Okay. Maybe if now? I'm going to go stand in the sunbeam.
Yeah.
And look really cinematic.
Yeah. I'm going to read here as if I don't notice.
And I'm actually, I'm not going to be like just scanning the book, not paying attention to anything it says because I'm so freaked out that a boy is near me that I'm actually just out of the corner of my eye staring at this boy.
Yeah, I'm going to stare at this page, absorb nothing about what I'm seeing.
I hope I look thoughtful.
I wonder, he's going to think I'm so deep.
Oh my God.
So deep.
I need
Which
to go.
I am deep.
I am. I'm reading
but like,
a
right
400
now,
page
I'm not
book.
Taking in anything I'm reading.
No, it's nothing. I've read the same page 900 times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's gone? Oh.
Oh, he did not care.
He didn't care.
Shit.
It's fine. 5 more days left in this vacation. I was thinking of when you saying that you were like watching those things on YouTube. The other day I was with my friends and they were like, talking about this movie, have you seen it? About this lady who jumps horses into water.
Oh, you mean Wild
Hearts
can't be
tamed or broken? Yeah. So we were searching around
you
trying
mean
to find
the movie
that.
I own on DVD.
Yeah. So first of all, Ryan, who's been on the show before, was mentioning it, and both me and Colin were like, "What is this movie? I've got to see this movie." So we're trying to find a version of it on YouTube. We end up finding a USC film student's project in which he redid the sound.
Huh?
So it's the movie, but some kid named, I think, Dustin, like, did, like, the sound and, like, got ADR actors and, like, it's pretty crazy. So we ended up just watching that because that was the only thing we could find.
That's so weird.
Yeah, and I was reminded of that today when I was, like, trying to look something up on YouTube and my... history is the last 3 searches were Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken injury, Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken accident, Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken blind jump.
You guys are horrible.
Because we wanted to see that one part. Because we were trying to find that part because I wanted to know what happened. But then we ended up watching just the whole rest of the movie.
I really
after
like
it was really good.
I rewatched it with my best friend not too long ago, and we both said to each other, we were like, I thought this movie was longer.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the time that they were touring with the show and the sun wasn't there was a way longer period.
Mm-mm.
But it's like he's gone, he's back like right away.
And also, like, watching that, I was like, yo, this is, like, mean to horses.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want, no horse is like, I want to dive into a little pool.
Yeah.
They don't like that. Except her horse did. He came running.
I think, but they all come running if they're trained.
I think that's the thing. You're training them. And so they're just like, oh, this is what I have to do.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to take horseback riding lessons or flower arranging classes. I haven't decided yet.
Different thing.
Different thing.
My best friend, who I watched it with recently, she was a dressage trainer for 10 years. And has recently decided to change professions.
Cool.
But yeah, so that's why we were watching it. Like, she decided to leave, and it was like, well, let's watch. Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken.
Yeah. I think I'm going to do the horseback riding thing. I love riding horses, so I want to, like, get really good at it. I
really don't.
You don't like it?
I really don't like it. Freaks me the fuck out.
A lot of people don't like horses. Like, they're, like, freaked out by horses.
My best friend from my freshman year of college, freshman and sophomore, she now runs a sustainable fishery.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate fish. I hate seafood. I fucking hate it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm afraid of horses. And my best friend from my last 2 years of college.
You're surrounded by it. You're surrounded by people who love the things you hate.
I was like, fuck, I don't want to have anything to do with what you guys do now.
Yeah.
Weren't we all performance majors? God damn it.
Yeah, what happened? Yeah. I love animals. I want to, like, touch all of them.
I don't want to touch horses. I mean, I do, but they scare me.
Because they're so big.
One bit me. One tried to eat my sweatshirt off of me. So he didn't actually bite me. But we were, like, walking by this, like, backyard that just had some horses in it. And he, like, reached out and he started to eat my sweatshirt. It was terrifying. I took horseback riding lessons when I was little. And then I remember, like, a mule running off with me.
That tracks.
Great luck. I don't know. Tracks. Great luck.
That's a young Lindsay moment.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, the fact that it's like a mule. That's so perfect. Aw, that's so cute. Well, I think that wraps.
Yeah, that wraps it up. That wraps it up. I don't know. I really liked it.
I loved it. I can't wait for the next one.
Yep.
I'm so excited.
Very much looking forward to it. So what we wanted to do now was read a couple emails that we got. We asked some of our listeners to send in, like, what some of their favorite episodes were. And we got this one from Emily. It says, hello there, longtime listener and fan here. Just wanted to weigh in with my 2 cents regarding your recent call for listeners' favorite episodes. My faves include all three of the Forbidden Game episodes, maybe because you guys were so enthusiastic about those books. Sometimes you guys find more to say about the books you don't like, which is understandable and fun in a different way. But it was fun to hear you talk at length about books that you were excited about. Plus, there were some really funny parts in those episodes, like that Dan Fogelberg song.
Oh my God. Ew.
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 She said ew. And she's right. Usually we're like, well, I liked it.
Yeah.
Like, we kind of, like, with this one, it was like, no, I really liked it.
Yeah.
My other fave is the first Remember Me book, partly because the book itself was so bananas. All that incest.
Yes.
But largely because of the tangent you guys went on discussing your romantic fantasies when you were younger.
Oh my God.
That part was so hilarious, probably because it was so relatable. Which we have gotten a lot, that people love the Remember Me episode because of our embarrassing fantasies.
Oh my God, horrible.
Two additional notes. Contrary to popular belief, I guess, I like it when you guys talk politics, but that's probably because I agree with you. Secondly, I want to recommend a book, and I'm reading this because it sounds amazing. Secrets of the Shopping Mall by Richard Peck. It was a bananas book about a bunch of runaway teens who end up living in a mall. In order to go undetected, they spend their days posing as...
No!
Wait for it.
No!
Mannequins.
No! No!
At the end, there's like a gang war between rival factions of runaway mannequin teens.
Oh my
Super
God.
Weird.
Oh my
Hope
God.
This was somewhat helpful. Thanks for the great work, your fellow creep, Emily in New Hampshire.
That sounds amazing. Thank you, Emily. I really want to read that book.
Yeah.
They both have mannequins. Stop. They're just like in a Gap Kids.
It's so ridiculous. So then here's another email we got. And he said, don't feel like you have to share this on the podcast. Just wanted to let you know you're not the only cyber creeps. But we do have to share it on the podcast. Kelly has not heard this
yet. I haven't heard it. I'm like leaning in my seat.
It's crazy. Lindsay and Kelly. I totally pulled the online stock and lie move too, only I was a little more pathological about it. In 2008, there was this guy on Facebook I kept getting a friend recommendation for who was completely out of my league. I obsessed over him and stalked his wall for months. Remember walls? Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Remember walls, my God. I didn't have the balls to just introduce myself like a well-adjusted grown-up, so I started posting shit that I thought made me look impressive.
Oh, no.
And tagging our mutual friends.
Oh, no.
Really douchey stuff like check-ins to concerts I didn't actually go to. Coldplay, Paramore, Pussycat Dolls.
Oh, BB.
And frat boy drink recipes. My friends were incredibly confused.
Oh, no.
Obviously, it didn't work. He never sent a friend request like I hoped. After months of this sad behavior, I got tipsy one night and finally just sent him a request myself. I pretended that I'd mistaken him for an imaginary DJ.
Oh, no!
In the request message I wrote, your set last night was amazing. Maybe we could swap tunes sometime?
No!
Wait for this. It totally worked.
What?
He wrote back that I had the wrong guy, to which I replied, oops, my bad. So who are you really? We started chatting and eventually he accepted my friend request. That was 8 years ago this month. We're still happily married.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's such a happy ending.
It took me a couple years to work up the courage to tell him the truth, which was probably wise. He was a little creeped out when I finally came clean, but it 100% worked. So I refused to feel ashamed. Neither should you.
Aw, thank you. Is this Micah?
This is Love and Creepiness, Micah.
Aw, Micah was one of our first listeners.
Yeah, and he left us a really nice review that we loved.
Yes.
He sent an amazing photo of him and his husband and their baby.
Aw, I'm so glad it worked out.
That was amazing. When I read that part, I was like, shut up.
Maybe we could swap some tunes sometime.
It's the best.
I feel like a real DJ would have been like, what did you fucking say to me? Are you with the cops? Oh, my God. Great. That's amazing.
And then I also wanted to share, we got a couple of emails about the last vampire episode because of the whole cultural appropriation issue.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, a very long time ago, got an email from an Indian woman who said that she just loved that he was talking about Indian themes.
Mm-hmm.
And because of all the, you know, back and forth shifting mm-hmm. in Indian folklore, she thought it was fine. So mm-hmm. it's like all different opinions.
Interesting.
Yeah. So thanks so much for writing in. We probably will be sharing more of our emails if you say that you're okay with it.
Yeah.
We've gotten some really lovely emails in the past, but because we had never talked about sharing them, I wasn't sure if that was an appropriate thing to do.
Yeah, and you can go ahead and just write in it if you're okay with it. Just say feel free to share.
We love receiving your emails. Thank you so much for writing in.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a lovely way to end the episode. My heart feels warm.
Yeah, that was nice. So next week we're doing Cheerleaders the Second Evil.
I can't fucking wait.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've read any of these.
Very fun.
I'm like super excited. Although I did read the like summary on the back of the book where I was like, oh, yeah. I see.
And I don't know if we mentioned this in our Goosebumps episode. Did we talk about the fact that we did Carrie for our first $10 tier?
I can't remember, but doesn't hurt to say it again.
So Kelly and I covered Stephen King's Carrie because for our $10 tier patrons on Patreon, as a thank you, we record one episode that's like out, that's on a book outside the teen creeps genre.
Yeah, you can choose anything that's not YA pulp fiction.
Yep.
And we got that.
Yeah. So we run a raffle every month now to choose the listener who then chooses their book. And it was super fun to record a different kind of episode. So if you're interested in this, you can support our Patreon account at the $10 level. At the $5 level, you still get 4 mini-sodes a month.
Yeah. Donate whatever you want. Follow your truth.
Follow your dollar truth.
Follow your dollar truth.
But anyway, thank you to all of our listeners, regardless.
Yeah, thank you to everyone. We
really appreciate you.
It's just nice to have ear holes to
fill,
worm our ways into.
Worms.
Anyway.
Thanks for listening. Yo soy también.
Yo también.
Keep it creepy.
Keep it creepy.
También.
Yo también.
Thanks for listening to Teen Creeps. Our artwork is by James Mulholland. Our theme music is by Mike Carlson.
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Teen Creeps Pod. You can direct all inquiries to teencreepspod@gmail.com. And please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're reading along with the podcast, you can now find our book schedule at teencreepspod.com. Thanks for listening and keep it creepy.
Does it sound like I'm going back and forth in front of the mic?
Horribly unusable.